Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, because it is a Friday, it is our economics news for the week. Now, we look back at the week that was and possibly to the week that will be, just looking at what's been happening in and around the economy. And to help us unpack some of the week's top news around the economy is Ndumiso Hadebe, who is an economist and director for Pax Africana Holdings. He is no stranger to the Business Day Spotlight, having given us our big wrap at the end of 2019. Ndumiso, hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Mudiwa, and how are you doing?
No. We're doing all right. Just trying to see what these new interest rates are going to mean for my life. Emails coming in from the banks about, prime lending and all of that. Can you give us some color? You know, this is the fourth round of cuts that we've seen this year. How are you feeling? What do you think, of the SARB's latest decision?
So I think the latest decision by the SARBs of having a 50 basis point rate cut is indeed welcomed. I think if we were to backtrack just a bit, when we ended last year, it was at the point where there had been a lot of debates and discussions around the need for further rate cuts so as to ensure that consumers that are in a tight spot financially are able to service their debt obligations, but also to also have some kind of stimulus to the broader South African economy and financial markets and stabilizing financial markets. And now I think the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic in South Africa and across the globe has seen a wide range of interventions being put in place by central banks. And yesterday's announcement on the 21st of May by the South African Reserve Bank to cut interest rates by 50 basis points has resulted in an overall reduction or cut of 275 basis points since beginning of the year as part of an aggressive approach to create some kind of stimulus and increase money supply in the South African economy. I think, again, why the question of money supply is important is if we were to look at the period between 2006 and 2007 in South Africa, when GDP growth was at around 4.5%, the growth of money supply in South Africa was ranging between 25 and 27%. Whereas now, with a 0% GDP growth, we have money supply growth ranging between 5 and 7%. So there's an important role to play for central banks in terms of increasing money supply, particularly in productive areas and sectors of the economy. And that's the hope, I think, the Monetary Policy Committee had in mind that these particular cuts would have in the economy.
Okay. Now, for the listeners out there, I guess for those who don't fully understand, when you do have an interest rate cut, the idea, as you've just explained about expanding the money supply, you're trying to get people to borrow more money, expend, all of that. How would you say the SARB has, I guess, performed in light of how other central banks have been responding to the crisis? Because I think whether it's the ECB, there's a lot of people that are taking the lead from what's going on with the US Fed. What are your thoughts on this?
So I think what we have seen is that there are areas such as Germany and France and Japan that have negative interest rates. And then you have the US that basically has basically zero interest rates at about 0.25%. And in South Africa, given the recent announcement, we're now at 3.75% repo rate in terms of the repo rate being the percentage at which the Reserve Bank lends money to commercial banks in this instance. And so for other central banks across the globe, they don't have as much space for further cuts as a result of where their current rates are presently. And this has an implication with respect to bond markets, because what we have seen is that such that previously in recent years, the Reserve Bank has been slightly conservative in with respect to rate cuts, because our Reserve Bank tends to emphasize that monetary policy will not be the silver bullet for the whole South African economy. There needs to be an interchange or an interplay between monetary policy and fiscal policy. And so what we've seen the benefit of that conservativeness benefiting us now, because there's a lot of more room to have further rate cuts in South Africa as an intervention to boosting money supply, particularly for guys who are holders of debt, credit card, mortgage bonds, vehicle finances. Then they would see that their interest rates are reduced, and what that essentially does is that it improves the amount of money that is in the pockets of South Africans. I think based on the previous repo rate cut from the Reserve Bank, we had done a back of the envelope calculation to say if you had a mortgage bond of around 1.5 million rand, based on the previous repo rate cut, you basically had about 900 rand per month back into your pockets as a result of that. So these are the kind of interventions that are needed across the globe to ensure that whilst people are affected by retrenchments and lack of economic activity, given the lockdowns that have been instituted across the globe, how do we ensure, or how do governments ensure that people are able to have money in their pocket to sustain their lives and to even sustain their businesses? So in instances where there are negative interest rates, the responses then become different, because it impacts even on their bond market. And I think the bond markets for the South African case becomes quite important, given that we have limited space to borrow such that we've been downgraded. So the Reserve Bank in South Africa, I think, has been quite aggressive, but also been very cautious in terms of how they manage the instruments that they have at their disposal, given the learnings that we're seeing from the US Fed and other central banks across the globe.
Okay. So I guess in light of that, one of the issues that we've explored quite a bit in the last couple of weeks since the coronavirus actual lockdown started in March, with the various economists that have been on the show, is the policy responses in terms of stimulus, particularly monetary policy responses. And would love to get your thoughts on the printing of money, because that's where the US Fed has turned to, and we've seen one or two European countries also just outright printing money. And in the case of the US, this is not the first time that they've done it, and it's unlikely that they will face that much inflationary pressure if history is anything to go by when you look at what happened after 2008. What do you think of the issue of money printing that's been happening around the world, and do you think it's fair that a country like South Africa doesn't have that option to be printing money to get out of the mess?
I think the question of quantitative easing is a very contextual response to whatever blockages that an economy faces. And I think in the South African case, the question of quantitative easing in this instance needs to be at the backdrop of, sure, increasing money supply through quantitative easing. And then we would have to ask ourselves the question, for what purpose? Particularly in a context wherein the South African economy has structural blockages. For instance, the question of Eskom, albeit going through the lockdown and the COVID-19 pandemic, they have recorded decreased consumption from electricity generation, and as a result, we have not seen load shedding. However, if we're saying that we want to increase the money supply through quantitative easing methods, what does that mean for South Africa in the context of ensuring that you increase money supply, increasing lending and making lending provisions and requirements more flexible for lenders? For borrowers, pardon me, for them to be able to reinvest that borrowed capital into the economy. But how do you do that at the backdrop of a limited energy supply. So I could, for instance, as Ndumiso, borrow R1 billion from a commercial bank because interest rates are low and lending requirements are more flexible. And the Reserve Bank has undertaken a quantitative easing program. How then, for instance, do I go about ensuring that I do that and establish a manufacturing plant, perhaps say I'm manufacturing a product for the mining industry that I need to supply them on a continuous basis in high volumes, and yet there is a structural blockage such as a lack of reliable energy supply that is also affordable. What that would then essentially do for a business such as mine is that, number one, I would have very unreliable pricing of electricity. Two, it would affect the profit margins that I would have as a business. Three, it would affect the employment numbers that I would have as a business, because as a result of a lack of availability of electricity, it means that I would not be able to push out the volumes that I need in order to generate the revenue that I need to ensure that the business grows and is sustainable and is able to employ more people and have an improved contribution to the community as a whole. So in the South African case, I think when we look at the prospect of quantitative easing as a discussion, it needs to be informed by other set of considerations that would improve the coordination and cooperation of monetary, fiscal, and industrial interventions to the economy as a whole, so that we would be able to achieve the desired outcomes. So again, I'll just emphasize that we would need to really target such an intervention or a program for it to be contextual to respond to the long-standing structural issues in our economy.
And on that issue of the long-standing structural issues affecting the economy, I understand that we've got some new data that's come out in terms of retail and manufacturing. What is that indicative of at the moment, and is it pre or post COVID? Because I think we now have to define things according to that.
No, that is for sure. So this week we had retail trade sales data that had increased by 2% year on year in February this year, which was pre the lockdowns in South Africa and pre the rampant outbreak of the pandemic in South Africa. Now, this positive data of a 2% increase in retail sales was quite a surprise for a number of reasons. You'd remember, Mudiwa, that in February, we also had a number of incidences of load shedding. We had just registered a recession, and in all likelihood, the growth prospects for South Africa was at around 0.7 to 0.4% growth for 2020. That was pre the COVID-19 pandemic. And after the outbreak increased in South Africa from March onwards, then of course the instituting of the lockdowns, then I think going forward we would see these numbers in negative territory once more. So this was quite interesting, and I think what is quite key when we look at retail sales data is if we look at it from the backdrop of 60% of South Africa's GDP is comprised of consumer spending. So when we look at the health of the consumer, we're able to then have a direction or an indication in terms of what the health of the South African economy looks like. And it's quite interesting because this is almost, although it is lagging data, but it is the closest thing that we can get to real-time data, because we can get a sense as to the financial positioning of households and consumers in a particular period of time. And so I would look forward to these retail sales data going forward over the period of the lockdown in South Africa to see really what has been the real impact of the lockdown on consumers and households.
Okay. And then I guess going forward, because of where we are right now, one of the things in the economics community is that there is that lack of data, just given what coronavirus has done in terms of lockdowns and the like. Where do you anticipate things going? I guess I'm asking for an outlook for the rest of the year. There've been lots of numbers thrown our way. Where do you see things going? Things like your retail and manufacturing, by the time we get to December, in what type of state do you see some of those indicators sitting at?
So in our analysis, when we look at what the outlook and the forecast for the rest of the year looks like, we actually correlated in respect to what can we foresee with respect to the easing down of lockdowns or economic activity in South Africa, and in addition to when do we anticipate to have or register a spike in new positive cases that are recorded for COVID-19 in South Africa, because those two variables have a significant impact in terms of the economic responses and the economic interventions. So from on our side, our modeling anticipates that we would have at least a contraction of 6%, particularly in respect to industries that are quite significant. We would have look at industries such as government services that have been affected, and investments that have been made, a spending or expenditure by government services. We'd look at the construction sector, the mining industry, the tourism industry, which is severely affected, and trade and other services that have also been affected by the lockdown restrictions in South Africa. So as a consequence of that, we think that 2020 will have a contraction of at least 6% this year. And the other economic fortunes or misfortunes would be directly correlated to government's responses in respect to the pandemic in South Africa. And all of that, such as, for instance, just this last week, the easing down of restrictions on e-commerce, for instance, then we would see that that would have a contribution again in respect to the retail sales trade data for the second quarter of 2020. And the more we're seeing such easings in the mining industry, we've seen a 50% easing of economic activity from businesses in the mining sector. However, although they were saying that for them to operate at a 50% capacity is not profitable to do so, and in fact, they are running at a loss. So some mining houses have started operations and some others have decided not to because they would not be profitable and they would be running at a loss. So all of those indications will contribute to the economic prospects that we have for 2020. We did see yesterday the South African Reserve Bank's outlook. They anticipate a growth, a bounce back in 2021 of about 3% in the following year, which I think is really a base effect. It's an optimistic estimation. I mean, I think even the assumptions that are used, they are quite optimistic as a result of a base effect, which is really having come from a contraction the previous year. The likelihood is that there would be a significant V-shaped improvement in GDP numbers for the following year, provided that South Africa is indeed winning with respect to containing the virus.
Okay. And then your thoughts on the rand?
My thoughts on the rand, I think the rand has always been resilient. And I think at the back of the resilience of the rand has been South Africa's bond markets specifically. We have seen that even in recent times when we had the Nene Gate, and even previously when we were just earlier this year downgraded by the various ratings agencies and further downgraded by S&P, some analysts were even estimating that they would have an instance where the rand is 20 rand against the dollar or the greenback. And that has not happened. And our thoughts is that one of the reasons why that has not happened is particularly because South Africa enjoys a large amount of credibility and positive sentiment in respect to our medium and long-term macroeconomic fundamentals. So when we look at, for instance, how we comprise our own budget in South Africa, only 10% of the debt that we take up in a fiscal year is comprised of foreign denominated debt. So what that means is that part of the prudency in compiling our budget, we limit our currency risk exposure in the event that the rand depreciates, meaning if we were to have a significant amount of foreign denominated debt forming part of our budget, it means that our currency risk exposure to the debt that we might have taken, debt that was worth $1 billion or let me say $100 million in a particular year, if the rand depreciates in rand real terms, that kind of debt would exponentially grow, and as a result, it would increase the public expenditure that we present presently have, which is indeed on the rise, and it would limit the number of resources that are available to allocate to healthcare, to the building of new roads, the building of new clinics and schools, and so on and so forth. So I think that kind of framework that South Africa has had over the past couple of years continues to enjoy good sentiment from the market, because investors then know that based on the framework, the fiscal framework that South Africa deploys, we can indeed be certain that our money is guaranteed and we would be able to get that back. And that bond market activity has a strong influence in terms of our currency fluctuations as well.
Okay, so that's been us with Ndumiso Hadebe, who is an economist and director for Pax Africana Holdings, giving us a roundup of the week's economics news. Just starting off with the fact that the MPC has reduced interest rates in South Africa by 50 basis points down to 3.75%, the fourth rates cut for the year, just as a form of some form of stimulus for the economy. And also just looking at what's been going on around the world with other central banks, particularly the U.S. Federal Reserve and its policies and its responses to the COVID-19 crisis, and how other central banks have sort of taken the lead from there. He's also just highlighting the fact that when it comes to printing money, one needs to take into account the context and the purpose for which that money is being printed. That backdrop is very important, and that one can't really take South Africa and just say they should be doing exactly what's being done in the US. Ending off with some data from retail and manufacturing sales, and going forward with an economic outlook, they're estimating about a contraction of 6 to 7%. I guess that's sort of in line with where the Reserve Bank is estimating its bounce back, and then talking about the resilience of the rand. Ndumiso, how can people perhaps get in touch with you or engage, if they want to chat more about some of these issues?
Folks can be able to get a hold of me on my email address, which is n.hadebe@paxafricana.co.za. They can also go on to our website, www.paxafricana.co.za. They can drop me a mail. They can also find me on LinkedIn, Ndumiso Hadebe, and all of the social media platforms for any discussions or any interesting points that we'd like to discuss in respect to the economy and what we need to be doing and what can be done going forward.
Okay, so be sure to go and engage with the man. As you can hear, he knows what he's talking about, and you can engage with him further on the platforms that he has highlighted. So that's Ndumiso Hadebe of Pax Africana Holdings.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Very fascinating discussion with Ndumiso, just around what's been going around in the economy this week. I think on my end, one of the things that I'm quite interested to see and looking out for is around the world, there's everyone is moving towards lifting lockdown restrictions, putting in curfews, that sort of thing. Kids are starting to go back to school in different parts of the world. We've recently heard that in South Africa, your primary school and perhaps some high school students will be going back to school as from the 1st of June, when we switch over to level 3 in South Africa. But I think one of the thing I'm really keen to see is the solutions that people come up with to resume certain non-essential activities, particularly those sectors of the economy that have to do with people being in an enclosed space, whether it's manufacturing, people being in offices and the like. We've sort of deemed those activities as being essential, and with more people going back to work, people are coming up with the spray boots, there's temperature control, stuff like that. But the activities I'm now talking about is recreational. Are people going to find themselves going back to concerts? Are people going to go back to restaurants? Those type of activities. And I think that is the next frontier for the minds out there, just around how do you switch this thing back on, but at the same time, you know, have people, you know, staying safe, always being mindful that there might be another wave of infection that may come through on that side. And then I think that then will then feed into when the actual recovery begins, because I think when people find a solution to those issues, that's when, as an economy, as a global economy, people can start counting to say, okay, now we've started a recovery. Even if COVID remains a reality, right, when you have crossed that final frontier where those types of activities are back online and the ancillary industries are also now back online, then I think we can say, okay, now we've started the recovery. Now we can start addressing the issues that we're discussing. You know, do we start pushing back interest rates up to where they were in South Africa? You know, does the US Fed policy planning, where does that go? You know, manufacturing and date and retail sales, you know, what does that do? Because all of those things are going to be dependent on crossing over that final frontier where people, you know, sort of go back to normal. Of course, it would be a new normal, but go back to normal. And it would be interesting to see whether the rand can come back down to that 14-13 level. And with that, we've come to the end of today's edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. You can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Muliwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.